Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to talk about Pakistan. And before I start doing that, I've had quite a lot of comments from people recently saying, why do you keep putting Russia on the front of the thumbnail? Because none of these things have anything to do with Russia. But they do have a direct relationship, because what's going on in Ukraine right now has forced the price of oil and food and a variety of other commodities to go through the ceiling. We have seen more than a 50% increase in the price of most of those items. And what that's doing is putting an immense amount of pressure onto economies that were already in a fragile situation. So the problems in Pakistan right now are not all as a result of what's going on in Ukraine, but the issues that they're facing today are definitely because the prices of all of those things that they have to buy in have gone up so dramatically, and it's really tipped them over the edge. And everybody around the globe right now is being impacted by the increase in these prices. But to get back to Pakistan, what we've got right now is a crisis situation. The country has almost run out of currency, and that's a major problem for it because it's a net importer, and it's importing large volumes of oil and also lots of food. And we've seen the change of government recently in Pakistan, and the previous Prime Minister, Imran Khan, who's a cricketing legend, is now leading protests against the current government, and it's starting to boil over. And it's likely that we're going to see all of this come to a head within the next week or so. So in today's episode, we'll start off with a brief recap on Pakistan. We'll have a look at the economy, what's going on with the currency, which is performing very badly. We'll talk about the IMF deal, which was agreed back in 2019, but a lot of the funding still hasn't been released to the country. We'll then have a look at what's going on with the protests. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think is likely to happen over the next 3 to 6 months in Pakistan and what the impacts of all of this are for the global economy. So before we get started on all of that, as usual, if I could ask you for a thumbs up at some point during this video, and also please subscribe if you haven't done so already. And don't forget, I always include chapters in these videos. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look in the description below where you'll find links to Buy Me a Coffee, YouTube's Super Thanks feature, and Patreon. And I'm delighted to tell you that today's video is brought to you in conjunction with Atlas VPN. Pakistan is located in South Asia and was created in 1947 following the breakup of the British Empire. The country has borders with Iran, Afghanistan, China, and India, and has a coastline on the Arabian Sea. Pakistan is the 33rd largest country in the world by landmass, but the 5th largest by population. And the population of around 225 million people has been growing rapidly over the last 20 years. Pakistan does have some natural resources, including oil and other natural minerals. However, it doesn't have enough to be able to feed its own demand and is a net importer of oil. The country is classified as developing and is a low labour cost economy, with the main industry being textiles. The land in Pakistan is rich and fertile, and 37% of all of the population are employed in agriculture. And agriculture equates to around about 20% of GDP. Pakistan exports a variety of food substances, including sugarcane, cotton and rice, but imports wheat, vegetable oil, and consumer foods. The economy of Pakistan is in very bad shape, and the main reason for that is that it is a net importer, and the biggest items that it imports are oil and food. And both of those have been heavily impacted by the war in Ukraine. We've seen an increase of more than 50% in most of the things that Pakistan is importing, and that is just not a sustainable increase for any country to be able to manage. This table shows the largest import categories for 2021. And you can see that oil and related energy products were at $19 billion for the year. But when you factor in an increase of 50% on the current prices, we are now looking at a full year import cost of around $30 billion. So that's more than $2.5 billion per month that Pakistan is paying for fuel. The food items on this list have actually been split out by category, but you can see that animal and vegetable fats equated to $3.6 billion in 2021. Oils from seeds, fruits and grains were $2 billion. Vegetables were 944 million, cereals 930 million, coffee, tea and spices 845 million, sugar-related products 240 million, fruit 216 million, and so the list goes on. And of course, the same price increase that we just talked about for oil is also applicable for food. So the cost of all of the imports for Pakistan has gone up dramatically over the last few months since this war started. And as I mentioned at the start of the video, Pakistan was not in good shape at the start of 2022 anyway, because it runs a negative balance of trade. And you can see from this table that the balance of trade has been getting worse over the last couple of years. So we've seen an outflow of capital. The country has had to pay more and more for its imports, and it just doesn't have enough income coming into the country from its exports, which are predominantly agricultural products and textiles and garments. And if we look at the chart for the rate of inflation, we can see that the current rate is now above 13% and has been rising rapidly over the last 6 months. And reports coming out of Pakistan are that we have seen a significant increase in May in prices. In an attempt to combat rising inflation, interest rates have now been increased to 13.75%. If we look at what's happened to the currency, the value of the Pakistani rupee against the dollar has deteriorated rapidly in 2022. At the end of 2021, the rupee was trading at around 177 rupees to $1, and that rate has recently gone above 200 rupees. And of course, that is double bad news in terms of inflation and the cost of living in Pakistan, because we've got rising prices in dollars of oil and all of the food commodities that they need to buy in. So that means that in addition to the rise in prices that there have been globally, there's also a relative increase in the country if you're having to buy things in Pakistani rupees. If you follow the channel, you'll know we've covered off a variety of emerging and developing economies. And it's quite common for the governments in those countries to provide subsidies for certain items that they see as being essential for their population, and they want to keep those prices down. So essentially what the government does is it will absorb some of the cost increases in various items and only pass on either some of those cost increases or no cost increase to their population to keep everybody at a point where they can still afford to buy things. Now, one of the problems with providing subsidies is that the government has to fund it, and it puts extra pressure on the economy and the central bank if you're having to absorb cost increases. And the other issue with regards to fuel subsidies is that it can be a political tool that's used for popularity purposes. On the 28th of February, so this was 4 days after Russia's invasion of Ukraine, and this was at a point when the price of oil had spiked significantly above $100 per barrel. The former Prime Minister of Pakistan, Imran Khan, announced a cut in gasoline and electricity prices despite the steep rise in the global oil market, and also pledged to freeze new rates until the budget in June 2022. He announced in a live TV address to the nation that petrol and diesel prices would be slashed by 10 rupees a litre and electricity rates would be cut by 5 rupees per unit. Now, this was a highly controversial move because Pakistan was under incredible pressure at that point anyway. The economy was already creaking. And in 2019, it had agreed a deal with the IMF for $6 billion of additional funding. However, that deal was dependent upon putting a variety of cost-saving measures in place to show that the economy was back on track and that it could work its way back to a point where it would be able to be self-funding. So announcing these fuel subsidies was going to put a lot of pressure on the public purse. And it's estimated that the cost of that subsidy between March and June, so for 4 months, will be around 300 billion Pakistani rupees, which is the equivalent of around $1.5 billion. In addition to putting pressure on the finances of Pakistan, the package that was announced also raised concerns for oil companies operating in Pakistan, who warned of a catastrophic disruption in supply as a result of the revised prices and the delayed release of government funds to bridge the gap between the actual costs in the global market and retail prices that had just been announced. Before we go on any further, I wanted to talk about today's sponsor, Atlas VPN, and the incredible $1.99 three-year deal that they're offering on an exclusive basis to Joe Bloggs viewers. So what is a VPN and why do you need it? Well, every time that you go onto the internet, you leave a virtual footprint and you run the risk of being hacked or spied upon.
A virtual private network makes all your internet traffic travel through an encrypted tunnel and protects you from spying, public Wi-Fi dangers, and hides your IP address and online activities.
So VPNs are really great from a security perspective because it means that you're protected every time you go onto the internet. But as well as protecting your privacy, VPNs also offer you the opportunity of saving money, as well as enabling you to access a massive world of entertainment. Using a VPN, you can change your location, which enables you to set up memberships and subscriptions in other countries which may offer you a financial benefit. In addition to that, the ability to change your location means that you can access entertainment online that may not be available in your local market. So please have a look at the link in the description below, and you've got a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you're not happy, you can cancel the service within 30 days. So as I just mentioned, the IMF agreed a bailout deal with Pakistan in 2019 of $6 billion. However, that package is dependent on a variety of changes. The IMF is currently in discussions with the government of Pakistan with regards to a drawdown of another $900 million. However, they are very firm on the fact that the fuel subsidies need to be removed and the government also needs to make some tax changes. Imran Khan was removed as the Prime Minister on the 9th of April following a vote of no confidence. And the new Prime Minister and the government that's been formed are reluctant to remove those price caps. If you think about what's going on right now in Pakistan, they have got very high levels of inflation. So fuel prices are already very high and the cost of living has increased dramatically for all of the people. So the last thing that the government wants to do is increase prices further. So they're in a very difficult situation right now. Now, the IMF has recently had emergency meetings with Pakistan to discuss how to move forward on this additional drawdown. And IMF Mission Chief Nathan Porter said that the two sides held highly constructive discussions and agreed on the need for Pakistan to continue to address high inflation and elevated fiscal and current account deficits. He noted that Pakistan had deviated from policies that they agreed in the last review of its extended fund facility program, and said IMF officials had emphasized the urgency of removing fuel and energy subsidies to get back on track with the reforms. However, these statements from the IMF are not consistent with the later statements from Pakistan's foreign minister. At the World Economic Forum in Davos in Switzerland, he said that the IMF deal is not based on ground realities and the context has absolutely changed from the time that this deal was negotiated. He said that this is a pre-COVID deal, pre-Afghanistan deal, pre-Ukrainian crisis deal, and pre-inflation deal. He described the deal as outdated and said it would be unfair and unrealistic to expect a developing country like Pakistan to navigate geopolitical issues under the current agreements. So the bottom line here is that we've got two opposing arguments. The IMF is saying that it's close to agreeing a deal and it feels that the fuel subsidies and other tax reforms are close to being implemented. And whereas the foreign minister of Pakistan is saying that this deal is a non-starter, it was agreed in a different time, things have changed, and we now need to completely renegotiate. So overall, it looks unlikely that we're going to get an agreed position anytime soon. And that's really bad news for Pakistan because they really need that additional $900 million of funding immediately. One of the other problems that Pakistan has been facing over the last couple of months is the heat wave that's been affecting a lot of Asia. And this heat wave has had a negative impact on a lot of the agriculture in the country. Pakistan is the fifth largest producer of mangoes in the world after India, China, Thailand and Indonesia. And this year's crop has been badly impacted. In an average season, Pakistan produces around 1.8 million tons of mango. However, this year it's estimated that it will be around half that yield. Now, the majority of that mango yield is actually consumed within Pakistan. They do export some, around 150,000 tons, but the vast majority is sold by farmers locally. And that's going to cause two problems. Firstly, those farmers won't get the income that they normally receive from selling their mangoes. And secondly, the people who are dependent on those mangoes as part of their diet are not going to be able to get hold of them. So this just adds an extra level to the food crisis when you have climate issues that's reducing yields and therefore causing local shortages. So as we've discussed before, quite often when you see an economy starting to fail, it then translates into civil unrest, protests, and sometimes rioting. And that's starting to happen in Pakistan. And normally in these circumstances, the protests are because of high prices of fuel or high prices of food or lack of food or fuel. But what we've got in Pakistan right now is Imran Khan, who's the former prime minister, who was ousted at the beginning of April. He's now coming out and whipping up support and opposition against the new government. This week, he called upon his supporters to join him in marches. And one of those marches was targeted upon Islamabad, where they were intending to occupy certain parts of the city. Initially, the government decided to seal off all of the main roads leading to the capital. However, the Supreme Court later ordered that the barriers be removed and told the government to designate an open venue for Khan's supporters to gather. The protesters didn't follow the agreed court orders, however, and hundreds reached the heart of the capital, where they fought running battles with police over several hours before Khan and the main body of the rally entered the city. Police fired tear gas and baton charged the protesters and detained hundreds who'd set fire to trees, vehicles, shops, and a bus station on the main thoroughfare leading to Parliament. At least 18 police and paramilitary troops were wounded after dozens of protesters breached the last line of security outside of Parliament. There were also separate clashes in several cities in the Punjab province and the southern port city of Karachi. Live local TV footage showed police fighting with Khan supporters, beating them and in some places breaking their vehicle windscreens and bundling them into police vans. The Interior Minister said police had carried out a total of 4,417 swoops on Khan supporters' homes, offices and on protest rallies and had arrested nearly 1,750 people. Imran Khan is now calling for the government to be dissolved and for new elections to be held. And from an open-top bus, he announced that he is giving the current government of Pakistan 6 days to announce elections. So that would be by the end of May. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, this video really follows on from the previous video that I posted on Pakistan. But what we've got here is a situation where a country that is a net importer and therefore massively exposed to movements in the price of oil and food and other commodity items is suffering badly as a result of what's going on in Ukraine. They have seen the price of everything that they import rise dramatically by more than 50%. And this is a country that was already at breaking point. It was already out of cash. It was already struggling to balance the books. It doesn't have significant amounts of exports to be able to offset the cost of the imports. And it doesn't have access to lots of currency. Now, it struck a deal with the IMF back in 2019, but that deal's really stalled because Pakistan hasn't met its part of the bargain. It hasn't done all of the things that the IMF told it to do in order to sort out the economy, and so the tap was turned off for funding. We've seen a change of government recently, and we've now got a coalition government. So that means that we don't have a ruling party that has a clear majority. They have to agree everything. And that's always a difficult situation for any country because you tend to have to get compromises and you can't get a lot of things done. Now, the fuel subsidies that were brought in by Imran Khan at the end of February are costing the country a fortune. It's estimated to cost around $1.5 billion over a four-month period. And the country just can't afford that. It's impossible. And the other thing that it's causing is it's causing the IMF not to release further money. And Pakistan have now turned around and said that they believe that the deal's unfair and we need to renegotiate a new settlement. Now, the bottom line on all of this is that Pakistan is running out of cash. It's on the verge of bankruptcy and it urgently needs a large amount of capital to be able to keep paying for its imports. The IMF is not going to agree to give that money without any terms and conditions, and Pakistan are not agreeing to those terms and conditions. So it's getting to the point where they won't be able to pay for any of the fuel and the food. This is exactly the same situation that Sri Lanka is in right now. They ran out of money, they couldn't afford to pay the tankers to unload all of the oil, and therefore those tankers turned away and didn't make those deliveries. And what we saw there was a breakdown in terms of nobody could get any fuel, there are concerns now about the level of food in the country, and India and China are having to bail them out. They've given them credit lines. Now, Pakistan does have some friends in the world. Saudi Arabia has just announced that they've put $3 billion on deposit in Pakistan, and it's likely that they may need other countries to do similar things. There are a lot of infrastructure initiatives going on in Pakistan right now from China. Their Belt and Road Initiative really focuses on Pakistan as one of the main countries. So it's quite likely that China could offer some more assistance, could offer some cash, could offer some credit lines, provide some food. But there will be a catch with all of that. So any deals that Pakistan does right now with other nations are likely to involve some form of political agreements, whether that is giving control of ports to friendly nations or giving control of cities or allowing them to have certain other benefits. And that's one of the concerns that we've got here geopolitically. When you look at what's going on right now in the world, there are a lot of nations that are wobbling, that are on the verge of bankruptcy. And this represents an opportunity for other countries to step in and to exert some form of political influence or to take control of certain assets or areas. And that's what we saw in Sri Lanka with China. They took over one of the ports. They've got a 99-year lease on that. And Pakistan could find itself in the same situation. It could have to do deals whereby to get that cash, to get that food, to get that fuel in, it has to give away some of its sovereignty. And that's one of the big concerns that I've got right now, is that we are starting to see political deals being struck that will change the way that the world operates going forward. So I think that's really the takeaway from this video. What's going on in Ukraine right now in Eastern Europe has caused the price of oil and food and a variety of other things to get to the point where it's pushing smaller economies over the edge. They are now being forced into a situation where they have to agree deals and terms with people that they may not have wanted to do if this war had not been happening. And in terms of what's the impact on the global economy, well, that really remains to be seen. But what we're seeing is Pakistan is getting to the state where it needs a bailout. So it might not be from the IMF, it might need to be from another source, more of a charitable aid gesture. But fundamentally, somebody will have to pick up the bill for all of that. And that's going to add further to the global debt that we've got around the world. And ultimately, the Western world and the more developed nations will have to pick up the tab on all of this. But it's another factor that's pointing towards the highly likely outcome of a global recession kicking in at some point during 2022. So hopefully you found today's video useful, informative and educational. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.